The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant. Good afternoon and welcome in here on this Wednesday, the middle of the week. Unfortunately, some of the news stories seem to be the same. All eyes on the Big Ten after last night's CFP reveal, where Ohio State perilously clinging to that number four position. Meanwhile, Maryland and Michigan off for this weekend. Maybe that doesn't matter, but maybe it does, because Michigan plays Ohio State the following weekend. That's a game Ohio State desperately needs to be eligible for the Big Ten Championship and the College Football Playoff. We'll talk a lot about that. Meanwhile, games are being canceled across the board. Already eight have gone by the wayside for this weekend. In spite of all the bad news, Anthony Fauci expresses optimism that stadiums could be full again in 21. That's not taking it too far, considering the vaccine is about to start being distributed and should have full delivery by the end of summer. This year was limited, but next year looks very good. But next year is a long way off. We're still trying to finish this season. The new CDC guidelines are a positive step for college athletics. That's a story by Ross Dellinger, and he will join us here shortly. All eyes are on this weekend, at least in the SEC. The headliner, of course, in Baton Rouge. And will Nick Saban be there? That's the question many have been asking since he missed last week's game. And Nick Saban says, yeah, I'll be there. Don't worry about me. I used to work there. I want to be there. I like playing in Baton Rouge. Alabama football trying to deal with what happened last year. But what happened last year in Tuscaloosa seemed like a long way off, but this is a rivalry that Nick Saban has quite enjoyed. 13-2 in revenge games. That's not many over a career that began at Alabama in 2007. So here we go again. Alabama and LSU, the game is in December. We haven't seen that very often. What about the Gators? James Houston say, we've never played a Tennessee team that was too competitive. That's not exactly what Jeremy Pruitt wants on his resume appeal to Philip Fulmer about continuing there. And what about this game? This game is also much later in the season than we've ever, well, maybe not. We usually see this game in September, but the last time they played in December was in 2001, and it was one of the all-timers. Remember, the game was rescheduled because of the September 11th attacks. The game, had it been played on time, easily favored Florida. The Tennessee quarterback was banged up, but in the rematch, it was an epic game. It turned out to be Steve Spurrier's final game at the Swamp. The East was on the line. It cost the Gators a shot at the national championships, and in a series that has been nothing short of amazing, it would rank among the greatest games in that series history. So that's where we are on this Wednesday afternoon. We appreciate you dropping by. The phone lines are, of course, open. We'll get to your calls in a minute. And we mentioned Dellinger. He will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Heather Dinich on the confusion of the college football playoff. What to do about Ohio State? What about the SEC with three combatants ready to go? Greg McElroy's reaction. And man, are we on a roll with country music stars. Chase Rice returns to the show later on as well. And we take your phone calls now, beginning at 855-242-7285. And let's start off with Larry in Richmond, Virginia. Larry, you are first up, and good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I'm an avid Auburn fan, and I have to admit that I was pretty disappointed after last Saturday's showing. You know, I thought maybe that, I didn't have much hope for Auburn. I thought they'd at least make a game of it, which they did not do, obviously. But, you know, this whole coaching carousel comes up again, and Melzon's name is always mentioned in it. And I guess my question is, how long do you go with a coach that, except for 2013, has had nothing but a very mediocre record? You look at his wins and losses over the years. You know, in 14 it was 8-5, 15 it was 7-6, and so forth. And it's even worse in the conference thing. You know, so how long do you think they're going to go? That's the question I have.
Yeah, Larry, one reason why Malzahn is still there is a couple of years ago he flirted with leaving to go to Arkansas, his native state, and the university president there, with the help of one trustee, a couple of the main other trustees were vehemently opposed to it, but one trustee helped push an extension through, which put Auburn in a precarious situation where the buyout went up to more than $30 million a year, so they couldn't fire him. Right now, that buyout is probably half of that. And it is a conundrum for this reason. He's a good coach. By no means is he an elite coach, but also he is not a bad coach. So Auburn is stuck in that 8-9 win category, and at some point they need to determine, is it enough or not? And I don't think it's going to be this season, but you're right. There are plenty of fans grumbling after last week. This weekend is a great opportunity for them to knock off a big-time team. They've done that before, and a win over Texas A&M would go a long way in salving the wounds of last weekend.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though, that college football is the only sport, the only job that I know a head college football coach, if he fails, can becomes a millionaire. That's a little ironic. One other comment I'd like to make, though, about the CBS announcing crew for the SEC. I thought announcers were supposed to be somewhat neutral in their presentation. But I tell you what, those two guys were waving the Alabama flags all over the place this past Saturday.
Well, again, I think people view announcers through different prisms. If you're a neutral fan, you probably didn't notice that as much. If you're an Auburn fan, you probably did. But when you're doing an Alabama game and they're winning the game by 29, 36 points, what are you supposed to say? This is not covering Parliament here. It's a college football game, and you are supposed to talk about how well the players are doing. But, you know, criticizing announcers, whether it's at ESPN or CBS or any other network, is just commonplace these days, and that's fine. It's part of what we do. More phone calls continuing here, and let's check in with Bob in Brooklyn. Bob, what's up?
Hello, I'm Bob Spitzer from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
I predict Florida Gators win.
I'm Paul, whose mother was from Brooklyn, New York, and I predict that phone call did not last very long. Eddie is up next in Florida. This one will. How are you, Eddie?
Hey, roll damn tide, Paul. Hey, I don't know who that guy is from New York, but he needs to call his local.
Yeah, I mean, it's time for Bob to find a local show to call in.
Yeah.
We are officially severing ties with Bob from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm definitely bobbed out right now. But, hey, Paul, hey, I just called to talk about, I'm a big Roll Tide fan, man. Hey, live there, you know, born and raised in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, I am so sick and tired of Auburn's fans complaining, Paul. Paul, here's the deal. Auburn think they're in the same category as Alabama. I don't understand them, Paul. No, Auburn, you are Mississippi State. You are Ole Miss. You are Arkansas. That is the category you are in, my man. You guys don't even recruit that well. But every freaking year, Paul, we got to hear how disappointed they are. They're a top-notch team. Auburn is not there yet. Please, somebody start telling Auburn fans. Put them in their place, Paul. They're not there with us. They want to be. I can't put it any plainer, all right? And it's not like you got a line of coaches willing to come down to Auburn and coach you guys. Man, you got to stay with who you got because you guys, you're third tier. I'll put you at second tier in the SEC. You're second tier. You're nowhere near us, Paul. Roll damn tide.
Ray is up next in Indiana. Hey, Ray.
Paul, bear with me for a second, would you? Hey, you remember Jim Harbaugh and the Penn State coach, Nebraska guy, bragging about they were going to win the Big Ten title if they played. You see how pathetic all three of them were?
Pretty bad.
This year. And Harbaugh, you know his new nickname down in Ann Arbor?
No.
Little Game Jimmy. He used to be able to play with the big boys. Now he can't even play with the little boys.
Right now he can't even play because his game just got scrubbed for this weekend and maybe next weekend. The season may already be over for Michigan. Quick break coming up. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Ross Dellinger on the changing tides of the college football season. Are we going to get to the end? All of that coming up here on a Wednesday afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. We're all glad to have you, and we'll talk to Ross Dellinger in a minute. It just came across that Saturday's SMU-Houston game has been canceled, and you asked the question, have we heard that story before? Yes, you have. This is the eighth time the Cougars have had a game wiped out this season. So as crazy as it's been for some schools, nobody is going to be able to top Houston. I mean, of course, BYU had its entire season, I think, wiped out early on. They had to go shuffling and rescheduling. But Houston just seems to be the most hard luck school in the country. Let's get back to the calls. And Kevo is up next. Kevo, how are you?
Hey, Paul. I thought you were going to say at Houston we have a problem.
Well, yeah. That would be good. They
yes,
do.
Sir. Hey, Facebook memory 9 years ago on a sad note, it popped up today that this was the when Shane Corn passed away.
Oh my goodness, you are right. Yeah, that was it was right before the SEC championship game, and that was, I would say, the Kevo, that was one of the saddest days in the history of this show.
Yes. Do you mind if I read what you wrote or someone wrote that day, Paul?
No, not at all.
It says, Feinbaum Friday, Shane from Centerpoint. Last night, the Feinbaum Show lost a dear friend, Shane Corn, who was best known as Shane from Centerpoint. Died Thursday after a recent battle with lung cancer. Despite the cancer, Shane continued to call the show, engage in spirited debates with Auburn fans. One who was never shy to battle rivals like I-Man and Tammy, Shane also wanted to live out his dream of being a sports writer, which began on this website over 6 years ago. Shane's finest moments on the air came when he had discussed a recent column he dropped. When he had passively aggressively asked Feinbaum about getting media credentials for games. that's brought back some good memories, Paul. I mean,
yeah, Kevo, let me offer one or two to that. Shane, every day at 4 o'clock, he was the first caller. I mean, it was automatic. He battled lung cancer and he still called. But Shane decided, as you alluded to there, that he wanted to become a sports writer. He got a job for a local paper, I think, out of Bessemer.
Yes, sir.
And he got Shane was always dealing with conspiracy theories about Auburn and illegality. And he once called the NCAA enforcement division and said, hey, I'm Shane from the Feinbaum Show, and I want to turn in Auburn on all these allegations. But my favorite was 1 year at Media Days. We were at the we were in Media Row there, and they brought Nick Saban over to the show, and Shane was hanging out with us. And Shane literally stands up, walks over to Saban, and says, "Hey, Nick, I'm Shane from the Feinbaum Show." And Saban looked around like, "Where's my security?"
Right, right.
No,
right.
he was one of a kind, and you know, we talk about Tammy and the people that showed up for his funeral, her funeral, and same people showed up for Shane. There was I-Man and Legend and countless other of the Feinbaum callers, and it was an amazing day.
Was not there.
What was that?
Yes, hey, one final note. Paul, didn't you have a kidney stone about a few months ago?
Yes, right around the time of the national championship.
I am in the club. Could you describe before you close, and I'll shut up, how severe the pain is in your eyes?
You know, I've never had this happen before, but I would think it would be like somebody sticking a knife in your side.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we're in the club together, because that's basically that, or maybe a rhino horn or something in your side. So, yes,
yeah.
But I mainly want to call about Shane, because I saw that pop up. And
well, I'm glad you did. Kevo, thank you. Yeah. Yeah,
bye, buddy. Appreciate,
appreciate it very much, and thanks for the memory. I don't advise it to anyone. Yeah, I was dealing with it last year, between around the time of the semifinals and up until the. I came back from the national championship game and had it had surgery because it was so bad. But yeah, it. That's what I remember about LSU winning. It was get me out of here, get me home, and get me under the knife. Everything's great now, though. Thank goodness. But thanks for the call about Shane. That was really cool to remember. How about Ryan in Charleston? Ryan, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Just wanted to call in and get your thoughts on the South Carolina coaching search. It appears a lot of the big money, even a lot of former players and local radio, are really pushing hard for Shane Beamer. And at this point, I really just don't understand why we would go the unproven route, considering we just paid a guy $15 million to go away. It just feels like that would be a massive risk at this point.
Ryan, you have to remember something about coaching searches. When you let it linger for a long time, this happens. I've seen this happen before. I saw a group of boosters at Alabama determine and push a certain coach into that position because they had to save recruiting. He was friends with everyone, and it turned out to be one of the biggest disasters in the school's history. I don't know. I know about as much about Shane Beamer as you do. I know what you're talking about here, and I don't know if he's the right choice or not, because I think you have to look at why this didn't work with Will Muschamp, who had experience as a head coach, obviously, and why take a chance on somebody who's unproven but has a great pedigree. My question I would ask for you, and I would ask for everyone pushing Shane Beamer. If his name was Shane Jones, would he have the same clout?
Agreed. No, and we hear things like SEC pedigree and a great recruiter, and those were also the exact same buzzwords we were told that to sell us on Will Muschamp. And, you know, look where we're at. You know, in my opinion, I think the number one emphasis on this coaching hire is a proven winner and a builder. And I think there are candidates that at the head coaching level have done that. And so I just don't I can't comprehend how that would not be number one and really the only box to check on this. You know, we're hearing things about somebody who wants to be here and this is their dream job. Well, whoever comes here is going to be making, you know, it's going to be a big raise for them. So I don't understand that argument. And I just think there are some guys out there. I mean, the obvious names, Billy Napier, even Jamie Chadwell at Coastal, I think are guys that have proven to win and are proven to have built programs. And I just think to go the route of somebody who hasn't done it is just a massive risk at this point. It's really not necessary, especially considering we just spent the kind of money we did to tell somebody to go away.
Ryan, thank you for the call. And I really don't know what the right call is. I'm not in charge of the coaching search, but I do understand the appeal of Shane Beamer, but I think, like you said, you need to be careful what you ask for. Let's check out Will, who is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Speaking of coaching searches, hey, Will.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Well, my question really is just that since the beginning of the season, other than the first two games, which was South Carolina and Missouri, it's just not looked very good at all. And since the Butch Jones era, I don't really want to fire another coach, but things aren't looking good. And I was mainly, since you're an alum, I was just wondering what you think. Do we hang on to Pruitt for another year and see how he does? Or if he messes up against Vandy, do we go for Hugh Freeze?
Well, I never believe in just sticking with someone just to stick with them. I think you have to determine whether your program is going in the right direction or not. And, you know, I think the reason why I wouldn't say we know the answer to that yet is there are two huge games remaining. And I'm talking about this weekend and Texas A&M. And I think you have to evaluate the progress when those two games are complete. The Vanderbilt game, if you're going to determine your entire worth on one game. But I want to see how this program measures against the best of the best. We already know they were destroyed by Georgia and completely taken apart by Alabama. And let's see what it looks like against Florida and Texas A&M. And I think that will be the ultimate arbiter of where he is. I don't think anything will happen, but because of the circumstances. But I think these could be a really critically important 2 weeks for Jeremy Pruitt. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Ross Dellinger coming up here in a minute.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have everyone here on a Wednesday afternoon where games continue to fly, drop by the like flies. UAB Middle, supposed to be on Sunday. That has now been canceled. I think that's 9. We'll ask the man who keeps track of stuff like that, Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. Ross, always great to have you on the air, and it's Wednesday, and it just seems like every other week the last 6 weeks, games getting scrubbed left and right. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Good to be on.
So let's talk about where we are right now. I want to talk about your piece about the CDC guidelines in a second, but random games keep getting knocked out. I mean, we're I think at 8 or 9. 18 was the last 2 weeks. I realize the season doesn't have a lot left, but your thoughts overall on what we're experiencing right now?
Yeah, I think actually that was at least my mock count, that was the 10th this weekend that has been canceled or postponed, and I would imagine, you know, it's only Wednesday, so we'll probably have 2, 3, 4, 5 more the rest of the week. And we've hit double digits now, I think, 5 straight weeks. We've had 10 games, 15, 18, 19 last week was a high, and then we're at 10 right now. We knew this would happen. Everybody kind of predicted this, you know, over the summer. What's happening is what we wrote about. We had a daily cover today at SI.com about this. Is it's not just COVID anymore, you know, Paul. It's not just these small outbreaks or whatnot that are putting teams in a position where they can't play. It is mounting injuries and opt-outs that we've seen are on the rise. And when you combine those two things with the COVID issues, then you get this situation where you are under the threshold. And some teams have played under the threshold. We, in our story today, Mississippi State AD John Cohen said the Bulldogs were with had 45 scholarship players against Ole Miss last week and just decided to play. LSU is low. They came into the season 10 down already just because of normal attrition side stuff, players leaving early. So what we're seeing late in the year is just the numbers are dwindling on rosters. And when you add in the COVID piece with the opt-outs and the injuries, this is what you get.
I want to talk to you, Ross, about the opt-outs and the attitude. There's a lot of conversation out there, some of it created last night, about coaches wanting to wave the white flag. Whether that's accurate or not, I think, is open for interpretation. But you talk to coaches every day, especially those who are being affected by that. How would you describe the mood, not of the upper echelon, but of the middle to the bottom, where this season just can't end soon enough?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's funny talking to coaches now versus talking to coaches in ADs before the season, over the summer, because, you know, they all wanted to play, and we all wanted a football season for sure. And I think everybody in the media wanted a football season. This is our job. A lot of us would be out of a job without it. But now that we're deep into it and almost finished with it, there's a lot of people that just are so ready for it to be done, you know, and not saying they're waving the white flag or pulling the plug anyway, but they are ready for this season to be over. It has been a grind. It's been certainly the most difficult in recent history. And there is a sentiment of, gosh, let's just get to the finish line here. We're you know, roughly 2 weeks out of the regular season. Let's get to the finish line there. We'll be done with it. So it'll be interesting, and I'll keep an eye on this. How many teams go to a bowl game? How many teams decide, no, we're not playing a bowl game? Just our numbers are low. Maybe the motivation just isn't there. You have the COVID issues now rising across the nation. You're going to have to travel to a bowl. So that will be interesting to watch as we're down the stretch. But for sure, some folks certainly want to wave that white flag that you mentioned. But I think they're pushing through as best they can. And there's frustration in, as Kirk Herbstreit said on ESPN, I think he later apologized for it, but said last night, about teams using COVID as an excuse. And we've seen Dabo Swinney say that about Florida State, that they were using COVID as an excuse. I mean, that's a, you know, not to play. That's a big assumption, obviously. But there's something buzzing around college football. You certainly hear that from coaches. You certainly hear that from administrators.
Ross, before we get to the future, let's talk about the situation with the Big Ten. Barry Alvarez with some comments late today saying, yes, we are aware of where Ohio State is ranked, and we are going to at least consider dealing with that. What do you hear in relation to the biggest issue in college football right now? And that's the plight the next couple of weeks for the Buckeyes.
Well, what you have right now is conferences protecting their playoff contenders. We were seeing it with Ohio State and in the Big Ten, maybe adjusting midseason, adjusting the policy and allowing them to play in the championship game if they miss another game, or somehow creating a new policy that the SEC did a few weeks ago, right, to allow mixing and matching of teams in the schedule. We might be seeing that happen as well. And then we saw what the ACC did, right? eliminating Notre Dame's last regular season game and not forcing Clemson to play a final regular season game and reschedule that game with Florida State. It's eliminating it completely. And there's people out there asking, well, why doesn't the SEC do the same and just eliminate Florida and Alabama's last regular season games next weekend? And I think the reaction to that is, first of all, you have the TV contract, right? You want to play all your games, try to get all your 140 in, not just for TV, but in general. I think the league wants to say, hey, look what we did. We got through this. We played all of our 10 games. I don't know what kind of precedent that is to set. It would be in another conference like the ACC and the Big Ten are doing in protecting your CFP contenders. But I don't expect the SEC to do that, despite others doing it. But that's what we're seeing. You know, getting back to your question, we are seeing the Big Ten and we've seen the ACC trying their best to protect their playoff contenders because we all know that's what it's all about, right, getting in the playoff.
Ross, let's talk about where we are now and where this is all going. Obviously, there's optimism. The vaccine is working its way through the assembly line, and over the next couple of weeks, frontline people will start to see it. But the CDC is also reacting to the current situation, and you write about that in SI and how it could affect college athletics.
It's significant. Everybody knows, I've been on your show quite a bit talking about this, the contact tracing, those high-risk contacts. It's been the biggest hurdle of the season. I mean, most games are being postponed because of the contact tracing, around maybe a team has one, two, or three positives, but because those positives were around other players and staff, those players and staff have to be quarantined. And according to the CDC regulations, that quarantine time is a full 2 weeks, no matter what. Even if you test negative, even if you never turn positive, you're in for 14 days, two full weeks. And the CDC has dropped that now to 10 days and has allowed players to test out after 7 days. The people can now test out after 7 days if they have a negative test, obviously. So that's significant, obviously. You basically cut in half the time. It's a little late for football season, but it is significant for basketball season, which we've already seen, I think, more than a couple dozen games in basketball already canceled just a week into the season. You have more high-risk contacts in basketball, which is funny to say that, right, because you think of football as a physical sport, but basketball, you don't have that mask, you don't have a helmet, and it's not like football where it's a quick burst of activity. So you're going to have more high-risk contact, and it's indoors as well. And so it's very difficult. If you have one or two positives, even one positive on a basketball team, your whole team could be in quarantine. And now the quarantine time can be cut in half. So that is really significant as we move forward.
Great stuff from Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. We'll continue to follow you, Ross. Thanks for coming by, and we'll talk soon. Really appreciate it.
All right, Paul. Thanks.
Great stuff from Ross Dellinger, one of the very best out there. We are going to take a break. Heather Dinich, who also is on that front line of covering the college football season in COVID, she'll join us a little bit later on. More of your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And we welcome you back. We remember the conversation a minute ago with Ross talking about the frustration of some coaches. I mentioned the UAB game was canceled for this weekend. It is the fourth straight week UAB, which is coached by Bill Clark, one of the best coaches in the country, has been called off. They have not played a game since October 31st. Think about that for a second. Let's get back to the calls. And Lawrence is up next in New York. Lawrence, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I am great. Good afternoon to you.
I'd like to make a few statements. First of all, Paul, I stand corrected. Bama is clearly the best team in the SEC. I just let my exuberance get the best of me. Having said that, though, Paul, I do see Florida able to match up with Bama in the SEC championship. I think it comes down to their O-line being able to handle Bama's D-line. If they're able to do that and give Trask time, I think they have a very good opportunity to win that game. They just need to make a few key defensive stops, and they'll be right there. And the last point I wanted to make, Paul, I see Texas A&M reloading next year and the year after that and the year after that. I think good things are on the horizon for that program. I think Jimbo's going to be able to recruit beautifully in Texas, obviously, and he's got plenty of Florida connections, so he's going to get a lot of skilled players from both states, and I see that program ascending. They may not be at the top now, but I think that they're going to be around for a long time to come. Thanks,
yeah,
Paul.
Thank you, and I agree with you on that. By the way, think about Florida, people haven't talked about, and I've been told this by a lot of people who go to practice and watch that team closely in not only in practice, but in obviously in the games. That offensive line has been phenomenal. That has been a big, big part of what they're accomplishing down there in Gainesville. JC is in Atlanta. Hello, JC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey there.
Question I'm wondering, a few years ago, NCAA football put in the policy that a player could play up to four games and still redshirt.
Right.
With all this pandemic and teams not being able to play five or six games, is that rule still in effect? And will that, you know, glut up eligibility rosters here in the year to come? And I was wondering, have you heard any coaches talk about holding players out even during the pandemic when they need players because they're wanting to keep their years of eligibility?
No. JC, I'm pretty sure the NCAA passed some emergency legislation in the spring that gave everyone a free year. So, this year is not going to count against you because of the chaos and the confusion. Good question, though, by the way. I'm glad you brought that up. Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Well, hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you remember talking with Jim Brando last week about football, college football?
Absolutely.
Well, do you remember? Can you talk to the audience and let them know what was the main thing he said about the competition level?
He was certainly concerned about it. He opened the door to a lot of fascinating topics in that conversation.
I put on my thinking cap after y'all had that on. It took me a while to ponder a couple of night dreams. What do you think of this? If we were to take away over 2 years, five the first year and five the second year, 10 college scholarships from every one of the top five division football teams, give them to the up-and-coming girls teams, volleyball, softball, soccer, and basketball, and take the last two and give them only to anywhere they can in athletics, scholarships, STEM students. They got to have like 4.0.
Well, Brian, let me stop you. I mean, it's a great hypothetical. It's not reality, though, because of the current status. But thank you for the call anyway. How about, let's see here, Chris is up next in Oxford, Mississippi. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
We're pretty excited here in Oxford today. Matter of fact, if the Grove were open, we'd probably be down there celebrating because Matt Corral has decided to come back next season.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic. And,
yes, sir. And I just wanted to know your thoughts with Mac Jones and Kyle Trask possibly going to the draft, which I don't know why they wouldn't.
They will.
Would that not make Corral the number one QB going into next season?
I'm trying to think. Who else would?
Is Felipe coming back? I don't know.
No. This is it for him. Well, I guess he could come back. And so, I just answered the guy's question a minute ago, but I think he, if he, I do think this is a free year, even if you've gotten it in.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.